Hey there, everybody. Welcome into the Tasting Room live stream once again for, what is this, January 9th, 2024, second one of 2024. This should be the last one we do on a Tuesday for the foreseeable future. We had the college football playoff semifinals last week, championship game yesterday. So it just made sense.
Yeah.
We didn't want to, you know, distract your eyeballs from good football on the television.
Right. No. There's no point in doing that.
Austin came in hot. We will talk about that in just a second.
Yes.
This is the fake beer of the night, Stella Artois Liberté, which I don't think that's how you say it. That's more Spanish. I don't know how you would say that in...
Liberté?
Liberté. Yeah, that sounds more... What is Stella? French?
It is...
Right? Liberté?
You know what?
I think it's French.
I'm not going to guess to sound...
I mean, it has red, white, and blue on the label, so we're going to go with French.
It's either that or Italian.
But it doesn't have green on the label. It actually doesn't tell you, which is interesting. I mean, brewed in the USA, St. Louis, Missouri. But I think it was originally, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's a 0.0.
Yeah, that's fake beer.
Ah,
that's what I meant. It's not water in a beer glass.
Yeah, how are you doing with the old damp January?
Damp January. It's been good. It's been more difficult than I expected in certain circumstances. So last week, I went to dinner with Amber and Curtis, my old neighbors who are dear friends, and then Malcolm and Barb McCollum from Tulsa Tough, or Malcolm. And so we went to Little Venice in Sand Springs.
Oh, sweet.
Which, that's my first time to eat at that place. It was so cool. It was great. Yeah, it was fantastic. And Walter, the owner, who's this mid-70s Italian guy, did not approve of my life choice to not be drinking.
Oh.
He just didn't understand why I would not want alcohol.
Yeah.
Well, and so, like, because I got there first, got our table. He came by, introduced himself, gave me a kiss on the cheek, you know, the whole Italian thing.
There you go.
And then I was like, this is going to be a horrible accent. So Walter, if you see this, I'm sorry. Like, what would you like to drink? And I was like, I sound like Mario.
What would you like Mario? To drink?
And I was like, I'm not really drinking yet in January. And he's like, yes, you will drink. And I was like, okay.
I was like, all right.
He goes, it's good for you. Good for you to drink. I was like, okay. And so I asked him what whiskey he had. He told me to go to the bar. They didn't have a menu or anything. And while I was up there, you know, the bartender's like, what can I make you? And I was like, I'm trying not to drink. Don't tell Walter. Can you just make me a mocktail or something? He's like, yeah, I got you. So I don't know what he made me, right? So we sit down. I don't think Walter knows that I didn't get an alcoholic beverage. But then he brings a bottle of Prosecco for the table with glasses for everyone. He brings two bottles of red for the table, glasses for everyone. He brings more champagne at the end of dinner.
He made it impossible for you to keep your...
I didn't have a drink. Didn't do it. And he brought limoncello shots for everyone.
Oh my gosh. How did you make it through all of that without drinking anything?
I just didn't ever fill up my wine glass. And then when the limoncello shot came, his attention was being drawn to his wife, who was talking about their 35-pound tortoise that they have. And while he wasn't looking, I slid it to Amber and I said, take this for me. And I took her empty one and put it in front of me. So that was the toughest night of January so far was that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically how it is. If you, when Lisa was pregnant for the first couple of months and we couldn't tell people that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
It was this sly trading off of drinks. She and I would both order a drink and we would sneakily trade and keep it under wraps.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the society. Well, I wouldn't say society in general, but the groups we run in.
Right.
Right. I mean, you own an alcoholic beverage producing company.
Correct.
So it's like kind of hard for you to go somewhere and not drink and that be not noticeable.
Right? Yeah, it's very difficult.
And I just know a bunch of people in the industry. And so, like, you know, what do you do when you go to a place? You have a beverage, you have a beer, you have a shot. I mean, I'm not a shot guy, but you do whatever. Sure. And so Prudence is just going to stand here because she knows that toy's back here. Hey, go. I don't know. Go, that's not here. Your bed, so I can't say that. But just like, go over there. So like when I go to Tina's, you know, Michael, my buddy, that's the bartender there. He's the only one that knows I'm doing dry January. I haven't told Sid or anybody else behind the bar, Tyler or anybody. But Michael made me just a great, he called it super tonic. And it was fantastic. He put, I think it was like cinnamon, cranberry, orange, lime, tonic water. I mean, he just like spruced up this tonic. It was, I would drink that even if I was having alcoholic. It was fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But that's hard because I love to sit at the bar and have a beer and,
yeah,
you know, an old fashioned or whatnot. So
partake and be social.
Yeah. But it's been good.
It's good.
I'm still going.
I commend you.
Yeah. I'm thinking I'm going to make it through this week for sure. My happy hour meeting on Friday got canceled. And so I have no real reason to not make it through this week. And then once I get through the 15th, if I have a like happy hour meeting or something, I might have a beverage, but I'm going to transition to the back half of the month, not drinking at home probably.
Oh, there you go.
And do the last 15 days that way.
There you go.
Yeah. So how's your drinking?
Great.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's real easy.
Yeah. To just continue to drink.
Just continue to drink.
Yeah.
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 And it's fun. It's okay.
It's fantastic.
One of our brewers, David, he's doing dry January.
It's tough for a brewer to do.
All three other brewers are not. So that's a tough one for him specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
He hasn't cracked yet. Normally when he does it, he's pretty good.
So what was it fixings tonight?
I had the two-piece chicken with charred okra and coleslaw.
But it wasn't like a beer dinner you guys were doing.
Oh, no. Like it was, okay. I had a couple of friends just invite Lisa and I to dinner.
Gotcha.
And yeah. Just one of those circumstances where, actually I sandwiched myself. I had a Zoom call at 5:30 and then dinner at 6:30 and then the podcast at 8:00.
Yeah.
So, I got all of it in.
You did. You were here with 5 minutes to spare.
Right. And I, yeah.
Yeah. The only downside to that is the energy now that we're dealing with,
forgive me.
It's not your fault.
Well, I mean, maybe a little bit.
Fault. I mean, she's the energetic one. Right. So every other Tuesday, a couple buddies of mine, Josh Royal, who's one of the owners of Roosevelt's and Arbar, and then Trey Winkle, who used to be a chef at a multitude of restaurants around town. Now he's,
what's he doing now?
He teaches, at Women in Recovery. So he's doing like, he's running the kitchen program there. And so teaching women fresh out of trouble,
wow.
Kitchen tools, I guess.
How did he get in that?
I don't know. We need to have him on and talk about that. 'Cause it's a fascinating program.
Yeah, sure.
I'll let him explain it, but it's an 8-week program. And then they rotate like every 8 weeks you rotate. And so he'll get
a new,
so every 4 weeks he'll get a new class in. And then the class that was in the beginning class will transition to the advanced class and become his sous chefs basically.
Oh, that's
and then
cool.
He'll teach. And then they make the meals for the entire.
Is he teaching them to become like chefs in a kitchen or
to an extent? Like, so they get their food handler's permit. He teaches them. We actually talked about this at dinner tonight. He works all through like the city of Tulsa's, or maybe it's the FDA. I don't know whose it is, but like all the food,
yeah,
the course, Tulsa basically. Yeah. He condensed it down, you know, to a bite sized thing that they can figure, but they go through everything. And then he teaches them like, this is a small dice, medium dice, large dice, like, you know, all this different stuff. You know, what to look for at the grocery store, how to shop, how to do this, how to do that. But then that's the intermediate or the beginner class. And then the advanced, I mean, he teaches them how to cook in a kitchen setting, but you could take that home or you could, you would have your food handler's permit and would have been taught how to work in a kitchen. So you conceivably could get a job
right
in a kitchen somewhere.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But so every other Tuesday, Well, for the winter season, it was mainly just Trey and I, because Josh, with how busy Roosevelt is with the holiday lights and all that stuff, he just couldn't get away. This was the first time he joined us since before Thanksgiving. But we would pick a different hole in the wall that we hadn't been to. Sometimes we'll repeat. Like tonight, we repeated. It was a place Josh hadn't been yet. It's 31st and Mingo, called Tortilleria de Puebla. And it's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Sounds, with a name like that, it sounds
un-freaking believable. It's so good. One person there speaks decent enough English to be the person that takes your order. Half the time they don't have the TV on, so you don't know what the menu is. You just have to like order.
Perfect.
Sometimes they'll turn it on for you and you can see. But their chicken mole enchiladas are great. The tacos are great. The tortas to die for. It's fantastic. So that's where we
31st
were.
31st and where?
Mingo.
Okay.
Go 169 to 31st over to Mingo and go south.
Yeah.
For like a quarter of a block, and it's in the little strip center. So they have a restaurant that's open for lunch, and then they have the wholesale like tortilleria where they make the tortillas that a lot of restaurants buy and stuff. That's open until 7. But we got there at 5:45, ordered, sat down, and they turned off the light and locked the door behind us. So they basically close at 6. they close when they're done wanting people to be in their restaurant.
Right.
That's when they close. Yeah. But it was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was fantastic. They make their own chips, obviously in-house. They make their own tortillas. They have a huge like tortilla, not even just a press, like a manufacturing line in the back, and like you can buy them wholesale to go. Or I mean, yeah, it's fantastic. I highly recommend Tortilleria de Puebla.
Check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's good. They don't have any sort of like liquor license or anything. So,
well, I mean, good for dry January.
Usually what we do in those situations is we bring beers and then we sit around.
Oh, they allow
tailgate beer? No, we would just do it outside. Oh, we would do it in the parking lot when we're done. Because actually a lot of the places we've been to, probably because of the cost of getting your liquor license, just don't do it. You know,
it's not cheap.
No,
it's really not cheap.
But we've been to some really cool places. It's been, I mean, this place is probably number 2 on my list of, I mean, we've been doing it since early summer, and this is probably number 2 on my list. There's a place called El Hidalguense, which is,
do you primarily go to Mexican restaurants? Or?
That's basically all we do. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's a Taco Tuesday every other Tuesday, and we do it in some place where we've never been before, or if it's, you know, if it's been a minute, we'll circle back to a place that we have been. But Hidalguense is over at, what is that? It's 11th and Mingo, I think. Mingo's the key to all Hispanic food in Tulsa. Fantastic.
Drive that drag.
Yeah, honestly. But they specialize in lamb barbacoa, which is
right on.
Yeah. It's something special. And their mole is really good, too. I'm a big mole guy. If you can't tell, that's why I want to go to Oaxaca around my 40th that's where mole was invented. So I want to go just drown in mole. Yeah.
Take a bath in it.
Honestly, I would.
Talk about taking a bath. Jonathan Trout.
This is a great segue, and I have no clue where you're going with it. Speaking of taking a bath.
All right.
Take me.
Where are we going? Taking a bath in something.
Yeah.
He's going over to Prague and Munich in March, mid-March.
Okay.
And he found, I think, a spa in Prague that you spa in beer, and then they have a beer spout on the side of your spa that you can drink out of
just while you're careful bathing. Just be careful it's not the water you're in, the beer you're in coming out of the spout.
Right. No.
That'd be pretty gross. That'd be pretty
drinking your own bath water.
Did I ever tell you about the
I think it's cold. I think
that's fair. Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the Thomas Edison chicken in a beer? Did I tell you that?
No.
Was that a conversation I had with you? There's a place in Golden, Colorado. I think it's called Golden City Brewing Company. 99.6% sure. And it's a annual beer, but it's a special. They only do it for like a day or two, maybe a week, until they sell out. Sure. They found an old recipe from back in like the Thomas Edison days. I think it was Edison or Jefferson. Yeah, whichever one. One of the Thomases.
They both would have been involved with brewing.
So. From a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
And back when there was no electricity. And so when they would make beer, during the boil process, they would cook their chicken.
Correct.
They would boil the chicken
inside of it.
And then drink the beer.
Yes.
And so they found this recipe made, basically did that, like boiled chicken during the boil part of the brewing process. And so the beer, I mean, it was obviously a lighter beer, but it had like this viscous, like almost oily mouthfeel and finish with like a little bit of like a chicken brothy.
Oh, interesting.
But still the lager or Kolsch or whatever it was, like it was interesting is the right term.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I would go back and try it, but I wouldn't order it
over and over. Yeah. And like over
if it was a staple on the menu, I would worry about that brewery.
I remember being at George Washington's house and he brewed beer and they talked about them boiling chicken or whatnot in the broth or in the wort.
Yeah.
While it was boiling.
One of my buddies told me, you mentioned Washington. Or finish your story, and then I'll
go on a tangent. That was the end of it.
Yeah.
That was the correlation or my connection to that same sort of story. I just wonder. They must have been putting everything in it. Because, I mean, that's a smart thing to do.
Sure.
When you're, you know, you're using fuel to boil your beer, so why not cook your meal in it as well?
I don't think everybody's seen Charlie because he hasn't gotten up here before. You've seen Prudence, but this is Charlie, my eldest son.
You know, he looks so kingly.
He does, a King Charles Spaniel. No, I have Washington's autobiography behind me because a buddy of mine, he gave me this idea because he's doing it, and I thought it would be really cool. So this year, one of my goals is to read every president's autobiography in order. So I started with Washington, and I'm going to go down the list. I've already read, like I have Obama's, I have George W. Bush's.
That's pretty cool.
So I have a couple of them. And then like Trump doesn't have one, you know, like there's some that haven't, Biden doesn't have one. That's going to be a tough read, but,
both of those are going to be interesting. Both of
Trump's would be more interesting read because shit happened. Biden. I mean, like if they're documenting his like loss of mental capabilities, then that might be an interesting read too. I don't know. But
Trump's going to be half Twitter, half
honestly
autobiography.
Honestly, so I don't know if those. I mean, those probably won't be out by the end of the year. So
sure,
you know, I won't be able to get to every president, but up until that point. But I don't even know. Like, does Clinton have one out? I don't remember seeing one.
I would assume he does.
You would think so. It's been a minute, but now with the Epstein stuff, I don't know. You know, you might need to do an addendum to the autobiography or something. I don't know.
Who knows? I would assume there is, because Bush has one.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't foresee why Clinton doesn't.
I mean, it's not a requirement once you leave office, right?
No.
Yeah.
But probably every president will have an autobiography.
They're egotistical enough to want an autobiography about themselves after they've been president, right?
Like, yeah. I mean, you have to be a little bit of
of a narcissist.
Narcissist to become president, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the only one that might not fall into that would be George Washington, but even he had a little bit of narcissism.
He did. I'm only like 4 chapters into the autobiography, so... He's just now becoming a hotshot in the general ranks.
Yeah. He climbed those ranks pretty quick.
He did. He was a mover and shaker, a swindler of sorts.
Sure. Talking about books, I'm reading Stephen Ambrose's, what is the title? It's about the Transcontinental Railroad.
Ooh.
I'm excited to read. I have only gotten, I started reading it last night and I'm like 30 pages in. So
are you like me and you'll like have 5 books that you're some level of being through, or are you normal and like read a book and then move on to the next book?
I am more audio and podcast.
Fair.
I'll listen to a podcast any day, before a book, but I'll listen to audiobooks a whole lot quicker than reading them.
Do you not find yourself losing, like, I feel like I don't concentrate enough on an audiobook because I will, like, I don't have to physically be looking at something or holding something. So, like,
sure,
I can be listening to it and then, like, I'll start checking my email or I'll start doing laundry or I'll start doing something and I'm not just, like, sitting there staring at a wall listening to the the audiobook.
I might be a weirdo and I love just listening, sitting on a couch and listening to it. And
what are you looking at?
I don't know, just the outs, so the leaves blowing in the wind.
Okay.
Literally.
Just like sit on the porch and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things to do. I mean, it's just like reading.
I don't think that makes you weird. It probably makes me weird that, like, I can't turn off my mind enough.
I don't think that makes.
I don't know.
I don't think, because I was going
to
say
to listen to a book, but I can do it in conversation. I can do it when I'm reading a book, but something about just the auditory listening to a book, I don't know. Maybe I just haven't done it enough.
But it's also, that's the way that I learned. I figured out quickly in college that I couldn't take notes because if I started taking notes, I would be behind. Like, I can't write as fast enough to keep up with the teacher teaching. So I just noticed that I download information better in my mind if I just listen to it.
Yeah.
Or pay attention to it. And it's probably the way that my brain has been calibrated to listen to stuff just over time and figuring that out about myself. So for you,
I'm the opposite.
You're the opposite.
I have to write down to remember.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas I can just entrench myself in the daydream of what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I learn, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, talking about the Transcontinental Railroad, those guys were nuts.
I don't even know much about that whole.
So, thing. I mean, I haven't, dude, talking about movers and shakers of the earth, like for real.
Of the earth.
They're trying to figure out how to go from Chicago to the West Coast.
Is the map behind me what got you thinking about it? Yeah.
Well,
in the book conversation. The book. Yeah.
And, you know, the span of 2,000 miles across land that they really haven't even discovered.
Hmm. Yeah, that's ridiculous. And the technology back then, I mean, it's like non-existent, you know?
Well, yeah, it was. So they're picking up one railway's section, four guys with the railway claws or whatever they would pick them up with. And it would be four dudes to a section, which weighs 500 pounds. And they're laying, I think that they said laying 10 feet. It's a stupid amount of feet per second.
Yeah.
To get 10 miles in done in a day. It was, I feel accomplished when I walk 10 miles in one day. Let alone.
Yeah. I mean, that's a decent amount of walking, I guess.
So
I'm happy if I do five.
Yeah. And 125.
Because how many steps are in a mile?
So 10 miles, let's see, 8.5 miles would be somewhere in between 17,000 to 20,000 steps, depending on your cadence.
Okay.
So 10 miles.
Depending on your cadence.
On your cadence, is probably like 20 to 25,000.
I just saw this book sitting over there, and I was like, this could be a fun game. It's Great Beers. Is the title 700 of the best from around the world?
Sweet.
A little dusty.
Yeah.
So the game we're going to play, just so you know.
But yeah, could you imagine? They're rolling steel off of a train car, carrying it, placing it, nailing it, going back the entire day and laying 10 miles.
No, it sounds awful. I mean, it really does.
But and they loved it. They were there voluntarily. It was they were the guys that I'm talking about were the Irish Irishmen on the east side going to the west.
Gotcha. Man. That's just a different breed. It's like that famous picture you see of the New York, like when they're building the skyline and they're sitting up on the beam,
yeah,
eating their sandwich with like there's a line of them with no net, no safety harness, no anything.
Definitely OSHA.
Just sitting there multiple thousands of feet in the air eating a turkey and mayonnaise sandwich.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is you would have thought that more people would have died.
Yeah. And like not everybody on that beam.
But not very many people did.
I mean, not at all.
Which is now building the railroad, plenty of people got murdered.
Well, sure. I mean, you're going through parts of the country that are uninhabited. And so crime and outlaws and whatnot. Speaking of
the trenches.
So you were talking about podcasts. I was listening to Rogan's episode with Taylor Sheridan today. I love that guy, by the way.
Oh, Taylor Sheridan or Rogan?
No, well, both. But okay. Sheridan was the one I was talking about. So he was the creator of Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And then 1882 and 1938 or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
So he has two different. So he went from Yellowstone to 1838, I think it is.
Something like 1882.
18,
whatever.
It is 1883. We were both wrong.
We were close.
We were all around it. Yeah. And then 1923 is the newest one. So I wanted to do like in sequential order. So I had already watched like the first couple episodes of 1883. I didn't realize Tim McGraw and Faith Hill could act like that.
They did a pretty good job.
And Taylor was saying on the podcast, this was the first time Faith had ever acted.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Tim had obviously been in Friday Night Lights and done some other stuff.
Yeah.
Turns out he's a good actor. I mean, I'm going to have to edit so much of this live stream out for the podcast. It's ridiculous.
We'll say your thing over again.
I know, right? I mean, I'll figure out a way to cut it. It'll be fine. But yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic show. If you haven't seen 1883, like I would recommend it. They're both on Paramount Plus, I think.
That guy lives a true cowboy life.
Sheridan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or probably a more mystified cowboy life.
Sure.
Than what is in he's the owner of ranches, I know.
Yeah.
Or part owner of
ranches.
The Four Sixes.
Four Sixes. Yeah. Which is one of the biggest ranches like in Texas.
It's one of them. Yeah. It's not.
No, it's not the biggest.
It's not even close to.
What was it? King Ranch is up there.
King Ranch is like,
I mean, they named a version of the Ford F-150 after that ranch, right? You know,
I don't know how many acres it is. A million plus? 1.2?
I mean, it's it's unreal.
That's I mean, that's got to be getting to half the size of Rhode Island or something.
Honestly. Honestly, it really where was I going with that?
You had a thought.
I know.
Taylor Sheridan.
Yeah, but and then I brought it up Joe talking Rogan. About the show. I mean, maybe that's just where I was going with it. I don't know. My attention is like 18 different places because I'm thinking in my head where I'm going to have to cut this and like what I'm going to have to cut out because these effing dogs will not quit playing. Charlie, at least, is laying down now. Prudence is just being a handful. Anyway, but if you haven't seen the show, I would definitely recommend
1883.
Yeah. And I'm going to go in order. So he didn't go in order. He did Yellowstone. And then the initial like 10 episode thing was like the prequel was 1883. And then between that and Yellowstone is where the 1920
right.
was. I already looked it up and forgot it, but the 1920, okay. whatever comes in. But that one has, I think, Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And a couple of people you'd recognize. So. Anyway, you want to play a game?
Sure.
All right. So you pick a number. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to pick a number.
Okay.
I'm going to describe the beer.
Oh, goodness.
And you're going to see how much information, if any, I can
get correct.
Get from it. Yeah.
Okay.
And you get three questions.
Okay.
Three questions.
Okay.
So the numbers between 8 and 377.
Oh, boy.
Those are the pages in the book.
Right. So, yeah. 283.
Ooh, I was on 284. What are the odds?
I'm a magician.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay.
Let's go.
So do you want to start with a question?
Sure.
Yeah, you need to.
Yeah. I start with a question.
Okay. And the question can't be like, what's the beer? Like, it's, you know, I'll tell you.
Okay. Oh, I start with a question.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. It's basically like you're playing Guess 21. Who or 21. Yeah.
Is the color of the beer light color, such as yellow?
No.
Oh, boy. Okay. Is the color of the beer darker than amber?
Yes. Okay. I think.
You think?
We're going to say yes. But just know.
That helps.
Yeah.
Am I trying to guess the kind of beer?
You can do one of two things. You can bottle shot it if you think you...
Whoa.
Because I'll read you some, like,
okay,
a couple things afterwards.
Okay.
So I'm going to... you're going to guess the style of beer, okay, based on your three questions. You're going to try to guess. And then I'm going to read you, depending on if you get it right or not, I'm going to read you some other stuff on here.
Okay.
And give you one chance for, like, a brewery / bottle shot.
All right. That was two questions.
That was two. So you know it's darker than amber.
Darker than amber.
We think.
Is the...
Actually, yes. I can almost guarantee you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it higher ABV than 6%?
This is getting more complicated than I thought.
Or do you know?
Well, okay, so here's what this is doing. It's giving me the brewery. It's giving me a picture of one of the beverages from said brewery.
Okay.
But then it's listing that beer and another beer as like two beers under
two styles, or two things that brewery does. Examples of the style. Okay.
So if we want to go, we'll just do this. We'll go with what the picture is.
Okay.
And you said, is it greater than 6%?
Correct.
No.
So it's lower.
And now
lower
I
than
don't
6%.
Know. Back to question two.
If it's darker than
now, I really don't know because I just... Okay, so this is going to be an example one. Okay.
Okay.
So this is Pelican Pub and Brewery out of Pacific City, Oregon.
Okay.
The picture is Dorryman's Dark Ale. And so I'm thinking, yeah, that's going to be darker.
Yeah.
And the description is a brown ale.
Yeah. So
5.8%. But I've seen brown ales not be dark.
It would be darker than amber.
Darker than amber. Okay.
Yeah. That would you answered all of those questions correctly.
Kinda. Him hawed on the second.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So now pick another number, not 283. Between 8 and 377.
105.
Okay.
Have you been to Pelican?
I have not.
It is fantastic.
Oh really? So you might have been able to get that.
I mean
I would have
been that shocked. Is like we have, you know, 20 I don't know how I guess 400 breweries in that book. So
yeah, there's a lot. Okay, three questions. We're there.
Okay.
Let me help you. I'm going to give you one starting point. You're in the letter C's.
I'm in the letter C's of style.
The letter
or
C. Yeah. Brewery.
Brewery.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of narrows it down.
But this isn't just in the U.S., by the way.
Just in the U.S.?
Not just in the U.S.
Not just in the U.S.
So it doesn't really narrow much down. I mean, a little bit, but not.
Yeah, kind of. Okay.
All right, three questions.
Is it it's so broad. I'm just going to go with that's a good question. Is it above 6%?
No.
Okay, it's below.
Correct. And I won't count that as a second question.
Okay, yeah. Is it of the lager world?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Is it? Oof. So it's a lager world, starts with a C.
So I have another.
Is it on the American continent?
No, but hold that thought on that question. I think what we should do, we're doing this first time ever, real time, by the way. So this is
fun.
We're learning as we go here. I think the first three questions should be to try to nail the style of beer. Right. And then I'm going to give you one additional question that can go towards which brewery it is or which beer it is.
Okay.
So if you want to save the, is it on the U.S. continent for that one?
Sure.
You now know the answer, but.
So it's not on the U.S.
continent? It is not.
So those are, I'm out of questions.
Unless you want to use that one as the one that you were going to ask when you were trying to nail the brewery or.
No, I think I could nail both with that question.
Okay.
So those are the three questions I've got.
I know. So what's your guess? What style of beer?
Out of three questions, out of the entire, I would be not on the lower than 6%.
Because now we got to start thinking of what kind of questions you could ask that would actually narrow it down more.
Right. Starts with a C.
Not the style of beer, just the brewery.
The brewery.
Yeah. Well, actually, the name of the beer,
too. I'm going to say that it's probably on the European side of things. And it's probably yellow.
The color of the beer?
Uh-huh.
That is correct.
I'm going to say that it's a Pilsner. Oh, man. I mean.
Okay. So stop there.
Okay.
Color was correct. It is a lager.
Okay.
So not a Pilsner. It is. Okay. We'll do that. Yeah. It is. The brewery has a slash in it. So I don't know which one it is.
A slash.
It is okay. Castle. So Castle Lager is the beer. Mm. Castle / SAB is the brewery. Okay. Now you get Castle. One question, or you can just name the brewery if you know it.
Oh, Castle / SAB is not.
Or what brewery? Country? What country?
Oh,
so I guess you would know that is the brewery.
Yeah, the UK.
No, so SAB stands for South African Breweries.
Oh,
so it is African lager.
Oh, I should have known that. I've drinking so much Castle in South Africa.
There you go. All right, one more. We'll do three.
I was thinking SAB as in Anheuser-Busch. Mm. I got that acronym incorrect in my brain.
No worries. All right, Castle. One more. Give me a number.
Castle is terrible, by the way.
Haven't had it.
I mean, you're not missing much. It is a Pilsner, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It had it just listed as a lager.
I mean, 95% of the beer on Earth that is labeled lager is a Pilsner. Do you know that, like,
interesting,
a cerveza in Mexico is born out of the Pilsner?
I did know that.
Okay.
I did know
so,
that.
So, I mean, pretty much everything in the lager world, if it's yellow, has been built off of the Pilsner platform.
Fair.
Pretty much.
So you get half credit for that.
Sure.
If not three quarters.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm here.
You didn't have to give me those points.
I'm here for you, buddy.
I'm going to go with 300. Even number.
Close again. This is going to be fun. All right. You're in the R's.
In the R's. Okay. In the R's.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
is it fun. Russian?
No.
Is it darker than a brown ale?
No.
Man. Oh, I've pigeonholed myself.
You have a little bit. You're just trying to name the style with these first three.
Okay.
So you know it's not darker.
No, it's not dark.
You know it's not Russian, which was.
You said I can't pronounce it, so I was like, well.
Yeah.
Is it in the ale category?
Okay. pause the game for a second. Okay. John, who drinks a lot of beer, should know this, but what's the difference in the ale category and the lager category?
Great question. So ales are fermented warm, top fermenting. Lagers are bottom fermenting, colder.
So obviously an IPA is in the ale because an India Pale Ale.
Correct.
Okay.
For the most part, if you have a cold IPA, which just screwed up.
What else would be in the ale category?
Oh, everything. Stouts.
Okay.
So
what's not in the ale category?
You've got Pilsners. You've got Baltic Porters. You've got, you know, Doppelbox, single box, Vienna.
Okay.
Cerveza.
So I can just stop you. No, it is not in the ale category.
Okay. So it's a lager. It starts with, or it's in the R category.
The brewery name is in the R category, yes. Category. But the style of beer is not an R. That would be tough. I don't know how many R's there are that are styles of beer. Yeah.
Russian Imperial style, yeah, maybe?
That'd probably be the only one.
That I know of.
A Russian Pale Ale. Is there an RPA? A
Rausch beer.
Oh, yeah. Rausch beer. Yeah.
We there's might be, probably one more.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right, so you know it's not Russian, it's not dark, and it's not in the ale family.
Okay.
So the style of beer would be?
Man, there's so many.
I'll give you ABV.
You kind of hesitated when I asked if it was in the ale category.
Just because I didn't know the answer to that question.
Right. Well, that's fair. Yeah. But if it was yellow.
Don't overthink it. I get where you're going. Just friendly advice. Don't overthink it. Yeah.
So I don't know. A Helles.
It's a Pilsner.
It's a Pilsner.
Yeah.
I should 95% of the beers on Earth are
Pilsner. I thought you were going to guess that one. All right.
So it starts with an
one question to try to nail the brewery.
Okay. Oh goodness. Is it
so you already know it's not Russian because you asked that.
Right. And it starts with an R. Is it in the German country?
No.
Is it in Germany?
Yes.
It is in Germany.
Sorry, you had me thinking Russian, and then I saw the letter R. Yes, it is in Germany.
Is it in Germany?
Yes.
Well, I mean, there's so many.
So who makes a German Pilsner?
Everyone.
Yeah.
That narrows it way down.
Since you got the question right, you can ask another one.
Is it in Bavaria, which is the southern region around Munich?
Stand by.
I don't know. Man, there's like 900 breweries in Germany, maybe more.
Yep, and this is one of them.
Right. I don't know. I'm going to be really embarrassed if it's like an easy one.
Okay. So this place is at the northern edge of the village of Grafenhausen in the southern Black Forest.
Oh.
And it is one of Germany's most successful and profitable regional breweries.
Oh.
There's some not, hints.
Not Hampshire.
Nope. I do like their beer.
I'm not picking up names right now, but I probably know the brewery.
You mean just tell you?
Yeah.
Rothaus. R-O-T-H.
Rothaus.
A-U-S. Rothaus or Rothaus. Rothaus. I don't know.
R-O-T-H-A-U-S.
Correct.
Rothaus.
And the beer was Rothaus Tannenzapfel. T-A-N-N-E-N-Z-A with an umlaut, P-F-L-E, which stands for Little Fir Cones, a crisp, elegant, well-rounded Pilsner with a slight final bitterness.
Probably because of the furry cones of Hallertau Middelfruit.
Let's play one more because this is fun.
You're getting close. Is cool.
All right, pick a number.
Rothaus. I've probably been there.
Probably have.
To be quite honest. Okay. To 350.
Drum roll, please.
This is really fun. If you guys are,
I hope you guys are enjoying it.
I hope
it.
You and
we're having fun.
We're having fun.
It's in the T's.
Okay, in the T's.
Mm-hmm.
What
I'll do is I'll put a picture up of this, like in the edit, like as we're talking about it.
In the T's.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in Germany?
Sure, you want to start with the geographical question?
I don't know.
Okay, sure. No.
Damn.
Yeah, because if it's a yes, that's a great question. If it's a no, then it's like, oh, it could be in 150 other companies.
I'm trying to get this. I mean, if it was in Germany, then my style question would be
100%
pretty easy. Well, not easy.
This is going to be, if you can ask the right questions around style, you could get this one.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I guess you could say that about any style, but.
Okay, is it between 7% and 10%.
Yes.
Ooh. All right. So higher ABV. Is it dark in color?
Yes.
Okay, so it's dark in color in between 7% and 10%.
Mm-hmm. And not German.
And not German. Actually, that kind of does help me.
Okay.
I should have asked continents, not specific.
Would you like the description?
Sure.
Of the beer? A dark and oaky winter brew with ripe malt, fruitcake, and sweet sherry mystique.
Sweet sherry mystique. So it's probably got to be from the UK. Maybe.
Ish. Yeah, it is.
I would have to say a stout.
Barley wine.
Gah.
That's why
it is from the UK.
Yeah. Well, it's from Scotland.
Which is the UK.
Yeah.
Dang.
Any guess on the brewery? So now you know it's Scotland. Starts with a T. You do get one question.
Oh, I don't really even know how to ask questions about breweries up in Scotland.
If you're curious, the brewing equipment is in a house where Bonnie Prince Charlie once sought refuge.
Oh, it's the oldest house in Scotland.
And remained untouched until the rediscovery in 1965.
Is it the oldest brewing house?
Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. But the brewing equipment is from the 18th century.
Oh.
So it's got to be.
On the label, does it have a house on the front?
This beer particularly does not.
Oh.
It has what probably is Bonnie Prince Charlie.
Oh. Man, I honestly.
And also, the ABV on the bottle does not match what they put the ABV as in the text. But the answer to the question is still the same. They have it as 8% on the bottle, 7.2 in the writing.
They might have done the style variation. I don't know, maybe. I don't know. I don't have any guess.
Yeah, and I don't know how to say this in Scottish, but traquair, T-R-A-Q-U-A-I-R.
I should have guessed that. Traquair. I don't know.
You want to do one more, see if you can get it right? We keep saying that, but you're getting close.
I'm getting close.
Give me a number.
It's amazing what you can do. 38. It's amazing what you can do with three questions.
Mm-hmm.
Chakar.
Okay, now I've actually heard of this, so we're making progress.
Okay.
All right, question one. Oh, you're in the A's, by the way.
Oh, okay. Is it in between 3% and 6%?
Yes.
Okay. Is it of the...
Going to be a slight problem here, but go ahead.
Slight problem?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it of the yellow family?
Sure. Yeah. We're going to go with yeah. Oh,
no. Is it of the lager family?
I have no idea. I have no earthly idea. We'll pick another one. The style of beer says export.
Oh.
What's an export?
That's an export lager?
It doesn't say lager. It just says export.
That would be a Dusseldorf lager.
Okay.
It starts with an A.
Uh-huh. Obviously in Germany.
Yep.
Founded in 1328, the oldest brewery in Munich, and one of only two in the city that do not belong to a giant of the global brewing industry. Yep. Augustiner. Nailed it.
Export lagers.
Never didn't know what I just saw export and I was like, I don't know if that's Pilsner lager.
We made a
Cerveza.
Like, yeah, we made an export lager.
That's cool.
It was awesome.
All right. One more time. Give me a number.
Hey, I actually got the
Yeah, that was right. good. Yeah. You nailed that one.
63.
Oh, I should have gone
69.
Ooh, okay. You are in the bees. This is a beautiful bottle.
In the bees. Mm-hmm. Is it in between 4 and 8%?
It is indeed.
Okay. It's kind of a wide breath. You should have just a little bit more.
Could narrow that down a little bit.
Yep. Is it red in color?
It is.
Ooh.
I'm assuming.
That was a great question.
Yeah. If it's not red by the name of it, you would expect it to be red. We'll just say that.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it a lager?
No.
So it's an ale, it's red, and it's in between 4 and 8%.
Correct.
And what letter does it start with?
B.
B. Like Boddington?
Well, you're guessing the style first.
Oh, style.
Yeah.
It's an ale. An amber? I don't know.
A cherry ale.
Oh, a cherry ale.
Whole black Vignola cherries, lactic bacteria, wild yeast, and wood chips create this fantastic sour beer.
Oh, interesting. And the brewery starts with a B?
Mm-hmm. And you get one question for the brewery name or country location.
So it's a lambic style.
It is.
It's most likely in Belgium.
Is that a question or a statement?
A question?
No.
It's not in Belgium.
It's not.
But it's a lambic style?
I mean, it sounds like it, right?
Okay.
Most of what this brewery makes sounds like you could classify it in the lambic style.
Got it.
Yeah.
So it's not in Belgium?
Nope.
Is it in the European continent?
You already asked your question.
Dang it.
But I'll give it to you. Yes. Yes, it is. A beautiful wine-like bottle.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
B. No, I don't know.
I was trying to give you a clue by the wine type bottle.
Yeah.
It is in Italy. Birrificio Italiano.
Oh, I was totally going to guess that. 100%.
He brews a large range of seasonal beers such as sparkling black currant lager and a cask-conditioned ale spiced with cinnamon and ginger.
That sounds awesome.
It does. Augustino Arioli founded his renowned brew pub in 1994 with his brother Stefano and other friends.
I've heard of that brewery.
All right, we got time for one more. Let's do it. Give me a number.
This is a fun game.
Yeah. I'll keep it out. We'll play it every week.
Yeah. Let's do 211.
Ooh, I was on 207. Interesting. Okay. You're in the J's.
J. In breweries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it in between 4 and 6%?
No.
Dang it.
He narrowed it down. And
I narrowed it down. Well, that means it's most likely above 6%. Because there's not a lot of beer.
I mean, it'd have to be like a table beer or something, right?
Yeah. So above 6%. Is it yellow in color? Or do you know?
Yes. I'm going to guess by the style the answer is yes.
Okay. 6% yellow in color. Is it on the European continent?
Yes.
Okay.
So those are your three.
So it's above 6%.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on the European continent. Oh, it would have to be some international style lager. I don't know.
Pale ale.
Pale ale.
Pale ale. At 7.1%
ABV. 7.1%
ABV
mm-hmm. pale ale.
Extract of Angelica adds a juniper-like flavor that complements the fruity taste of the yeast.
Right on.
Yeah.
And it starts with a J.
One question for country location if you need it. You already asked European continent, so you can.
Yeah. Is it north of Germany?
Yes.
Schorgensbogen.
Pretty sure. So
know.
Let me, I'll give you Jimmy. A hint. Named after Carlsberg's founder. Blank was established in 2005 to produce a high-quality specialty beers with a Scandinavian touch. This brew house will remain in the original 1847 Carlsberg Brewery Complex.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, it would the original Carlsberg
Brewery founder. Complex. Yep. And the guy's, I don't know if it's his probably
Jorgen,
his last name.
Jorgen?
Jacobsen.
Jacobsen.
Jacobsen Brew House in Denmark.
Huh.
Which I believe Denmark is north of Germany, right?
It is.
I don't know if it was just across or if it was north-ish.
It's like technically north, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I was like, oh boy, this is going to be good for John's geographical refresher.
Germany is kind of, yeah, I mean, technically it would be north.
Yeah.
All right.
So let people know what you have coming out tomorrow. So you have a kettle
yeah,
edition.
So it'll yeah. be it'll be a really cool one. Amber Hinckley on kettle editions, who is the executive director of the Craft Brewers Association. She came out to the brewery and allowed me to interview her.
I love it.
It's a lot of fun.
You learned something on that podcast too, that she lives in Tulsa.
I did. Yeah. That was a little embarrassing on my part, to be quite honest. I just had, I don't know why.
You had it
I
in your mind.
I had it in my Oklahoma mind City. That she was from Oklahoma yeah. City.
nothing wrong with that. So that'll be out first thing in the morning. You can, if you haven't subscribe, like, comment, all that fun stuff on the YouTube page. But you can also catch it if you're driving around Spotify, Apple Music, Google, the whole
yeah.
shebang. But YouTube's really upping their podcast game. Have you noticed that? Like, they're trying to get into the podcast world.
Oh, really?
As far as, like, housing podcasts. So you can...
Okay.
I can enter the RSS feed from the podcast hosting site that I use to, like, push it to all the different things. And YouTube, every time it hits Spotify or Apple or whatever... or hits that RSS feed, it'll automatically upload the podcast in and of itself without the video, but just the audio
right
to
on.
YouTube. Yeah.
Maybe we're starting a podcast at the right time.
Maybe,
you know,
maybe
YouTube's resurgence.
But it's gotten some good traction, kettle editions. I've noticed people are listening. And Christina's, her first was last week was Trevor.
Tack. Trevor.
Nico Albert will be this Friday's who's, she's killing it. A renowned, she is of native descent. And so a lot of her food is in that realm.
Super cool.
And with the, I mean, what's her name from Killers of the Flower Moon, won Golden Globe on Saturday night or Sunday night.
Oh, sweet.
And then, you know, with everything with Res Dogs and all that, the popularity, like I'm sure that'll be a good conversation.
Yeah.
And then next week she'll have Jared Jordan, the general manager of Summit Club, on to talk about all nice. Sorts of different stuff.
Now, is she hosting a guest every single time?
I don't think has every single time. But she's probably going to do what we did and sprint out of the gate.
Right.
And then utilize all of her Rolodex and then have to start figuring out what to do.
Right.
So after these two, I'm probably going to give her a little advice to like sprinkle in some solo ones just so right. that you don't run out of people in the first like 3 months and then you're like, oh no.
Oh no, I don't
what
have
what do I do?
Who do I invite?
Yeah, so we need to get a guest on next week. We'll work on that. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll be back to Mondays next week. So it'll be what would that be? The 15th? Is that right? Because yesterday was the 8th. So yeah.
It is the 15th.
Yeah. So it'll be the 15th.
I don't do math on a calendar.
Ooh, like I can. That. Oh, no, but I can't. I was going to say I could have a beer, but I'm at home. So I can't have a beer.
Yeah, you can't break your rule.
No, I won't do it. No. I'll have a fake something. I did order.
You should have me drink a fake beer with you.
I got another if you want to crack one.
No. I'm too deep
no.
in it.
No.
No. I've had real beer all night. Why would I do that?
I did order Best Day Brewing today.
Best Day Brewing.
A variety 12-pack. Only because I saw my buddy Jake from Heirloom. He posted with Jessica that if you're doing dry January, you can still come to the brewery because they sell Best Day Brewing. And he took a sip of the Kolsch. And I've known Jake for a long time. And yeah. I could tell by his face that it was actually good.
Oh.
Because he was surprised. He was like, that's good.
Like, oh, okay. Right on.
So I did. Their sample is, I don't know how many. There's three, and it's a 12-pack, so I'm assuming four of each. West Coast IPA, Kolsch, and Hazy IPA.
Sick.
So we'll see. That should be here Friday, so by next week I'll be drinking Best Day Brewing Co. I don't even know where that's out of. Any idea?
After getting all
Low-calorie, low-sugar, low-carb. I know that much.
It would probably be on the American continent.
I think you're right.
Probably somewhere in California or Washington or Oregon.
I'm going to guess, knowing Jake, it is...
From Oregon?
Northwest, yeah. But I don't know.
I don't know. Athletic is... Where's Athletic from?
Yeah, I don't know. They're really good. I like them. Okay, there's a lot of mountains in the picture.
So probably the Northwest.
Tahoe Nordic Search and Rescue.
Tahoe? Where's Tahoe? New Mexico?
Yeah. No. Utah. Lake Tahoe's in Nevada. Sorry. Hello.
We're so bad at geography right now.
Oh, here. Find us. There we go. Oh, no. That's just retailers. Dang it. How do I know where this place is? I want to find you, Best Day Brewing Co.
People out there are going to be like, man, these two jokesters.
We've been all over the place tonight. Like, do you have a tap room? Probably not.
Yeah, I highly doubt that they would.
Alaskan Airlines teamed up with them, but that doesn't do me any good.
Maybe they don't want you to know.
Maybe not.
Maybe they're owned
okay. This is the second thing that said Tahoe.
Maybe they're owned by Dr. Pepper.
I am going to say with confidence that they are in Nevada.
Okay.
Waning confidence, but I'm going to say
okay.
We're going to go with it. All right. So we'll be back on Monday. Catch Kettle Editions tomorrow. Juice Sip Repeat on Friday. Anything I missed?
Nope.
No. Oh, what do you got? Oh, yes, there was something. I forgot to talk about it last week. For those listening, and then we'll wrap this up. What's the membership thing that you're doing at Cabin Boys?
Oh, yeah.
Where can they buy them?
Yeah.
All that fun stuff. I forgot to ask you about that last week.
Yeah, that's actually something really cool. It was rolled out.
Does it need to be a longer conversation that we save for next week? Or
I can do it. We can save a conversation because next week we'll be doing a large last 2 week push.
Okay.
Because we'll be selling them until January 31st.
Gotcha.
Four tiers of the membership, tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four. Every dollar that you put into your membership,
creative
you get
naming,
back.
By the way.
Huh?
Creative naming, tier one, tier two. Tier
no, 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 no. Okay.
I'm kidding. Go ahead. No, no, keep going. Keep
single, going. Double, triple,
quad. There you go. That's better.
Single, double, triple, quad is the tiers. Every dollar that you put into the membership, you get back in loyalty points that you get to spend on whatever you want at all three locations. And then you get, you know, t-shirts, bottles. If you're double and above, you get to come to membership dinners. If you get a quad membership, you get to brew beer with me. You get
so
to
it's almost what we talked about with the NFT thing.
Kind of, yeah.
Tweaked a little bit.
Tweaked a little bit.
Yeah.
And off of our POS system. But You can buy it online, or you can buy it at the brewery itself.
Okay.
At the brewery, not at the brew pub.
What about Claremore?
Not Claremore either. You could, so they have QR codes there that will send you to the website.
Gotcha.
And then you can buy it through the website.
I need to get a membership.
But yeah, it's a super good deal. But through our POS system, for some reason, we can only sell them in a physical location at one.
Gotcha.
So at the brewery.
Well, that's cool. Let's dive into that a little bit next week. Might have Jake on from Heirloom because I want to talk about his coffee venture.
Yeah.
That they're doing, coffee at Heirloom, which I think is supposed to open up late January, early February, something like that.
That's cool.
So that'd be really cool. He said he could do most Mondays. It's just the one Monday I tried to get him on. He couldn't do it. And that was the Monday you were sleeping
out of
France.
Town.
Yeah. out of the country. Yeah.
Out of town.
I do not think we should hunt this weekend because it's supposed to be like negative 20 degrees.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I might be going out.
Are you? Would you
maybe?
That's so miserable.
It probably will be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've got some.
You have to have
really
dexterity in your fingers to like
pull the bow back.
Yeah. And if it's that cold,
it's gonna be cold.
It's gonna be tough.
It would be really cold.
Right now, my phone.
Right here.
Oh yeah.
On the boat. There it is.
As of right now. The expected high, what day would we go if we did that?
Probably Saturday morning.
11 degrees without wind chill.
That is 1-1.
1-1.
2 degrees from single digits.
Uh-huh. Without wind chill. Wind chill is supposed to be in the like negative teens to 20s.
Oh.
So I'm not kidding. It's going to be.
It's going to be real cold.
Collier said it's the coldest air Oklahoma's had in the last 3 years coming in
Sweet.
This weekend.
Yep. Okay.
So. Think about that. If you go, I might just bid you adieu from the warmth of my bed. That does not sound fun for me at all. Especially if I'm just going to be moral support and
like watching
drinking buddy, you know, fake booze. Like, doesn't sound like a blast.
I think at that point in time, you would probably have a whiskey.
Yeah, I would.
It doesn't count if you're shivering it out as fast as you're drinking, right?
Well, that's true. And also, but Saturday's the 13th. It wouldn't. If we go the following weekend, I'll drink.
But then it's the end of the season, so we would be poaching. But
when's the season end?
I think January 17th. I could be wrong.
Could we go during the week? So the 17th is a Wednesday. Would it end on a Wednesday? Do they just randomly end it? Like,
I think the end might be something weird like that.
Okay.
Yeah, they typically do run the seasons on Saturdays and weekends. And this
to be fair, if you go Saturday morning, it'll be 11 before wind chill. If you go Sunday morning, it'll be 6 before wind chill. You know, Monday morning, it'll be 9 before wind chill. So, and it will have snowed Friday night, so it will be snowy.
Oh,
and it will be
that could be pretty
cold.
Cold, pretty cold.
I might go with you if you go Saturday.
That'd be kind of cool.
Especially if it snows. Yeah.
Yeah. Sitting in the snow.
Yeah. Can I bring coffee? Or did we say no because of the smell?
At that point in time, it's kind of like I'll try and position us with the wind.
No, I don't want to be that. Like, is there a way, like,
if it's
just the vessel I bring it in matter?
Yeah. If it closed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
like, just like open, sip, close.
Open, sip,
yeah,
close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You could bring it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because warm coffee, because I have the, what's it called? Ember coffee mug.
Yeah.
That, like, you charge and it stays warm. So, like, that having, like, actual warm coffee.
That might
out
work.
There, it's a game changer.
That might work. Bring all of your warmest clothes that you can.
I'm going to look like the Michelin man. I'm going to be bundled up. Shout out to my dad and stepmom, by the way. They sent my Christmas gift in the mail that got here today. I have always wanted one of these, but just refused to pull the trigger because I never wanted to spend the amount of money that these things cost before. They got me a Canada Goose vest. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The Canada Goose project vest.
Yeah. The down, like, oh, dude, I'll show it to you after. I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it that weekend. wear it Saturday.
You should.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have arms, but like, I'll just have to wear something big underneath too. They got me like, I wear a large. They got me an XL, but so that's perfect for, you don't want the vest to be like, and so it's perfect.
Yeah. You have to size up on vests. Yeah.
All right. You want to get out of here?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. See you guys next week. Love you. Bye. See you.
Cheers.